Welcome to In Season, where we explore connections between people, land, plants, and wildlife here in the Lower Columbia Pacific region. I'm Teresa Retzloff, and today I'm sitting in the heart of downtown Clatskanie, talking to two amazing people who are really instrumental in transforming Clatskanie into a literal hub for local food in this region, Jasmine and Brandon Lilik-Schilling.
You did it. Nailed it.
Thank you. It's an impressive name for both of you. Welcome. And so I feel like I want to confess something to you guys, which is, I mean, I've lived here on the Oregon coast for over 20 years now. And for most of those years, if I thought about Clatskanie at all, I thought about coming, I was, you know, down in Seaside for a number of years and then moving up to Olney near Astoria. If I thought about Clatskanie, it was that sweet, funny little old town that you drove through on your way to Longview, to get to Highway 5, to drive to Portland or Seattle. Mm-hmm. It was a place that you drove through. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a place that you drove to. There wasn't a two here that I was aware of. Like, mm-hmm. why would you stop there? Maybe there was a funny little shop or something every mm-hmm. once in a while, but it has now become, in recent years, a place that people drive to from a lot of distances to come to because of this amazing emerging local food community that you two have been instrumental in getting going here. And we are sitting in this charming old building. You told me it's the old newspaper mm-hmm. building, but you have transformed it into, you and the community around you have helped transform this into a food hub. You've got a retail shop that sells amazing arrays of local produce, meat, fish, eggs, flowers, whatever, from producers from a wide region in this area. There's a farmer's market in Clatskanie. You have festivals. You're putting in a commercial kitchen here. How did this happen? And like, tell me about like your connection to Clatskanie and what inspired you to get involved in farming and local food. Jasmine, do you want to start?
Yeah. Thank you so much for that intro, Teresa, and thanks for talking to us today. So I am fifth generation of this town and come from a line of farmers that skipped my dad. My dad decided to start a mini storage instead, but it is the most beautiful mini storage in the world, I think. I come from a line of farmers. I studied down in Ashland in Southern Oregon and ran their farm down there. And that's how Brandon and I met. We farmed together at their campus farm, ran a 73-person CSA farm stand, just jumped in full on into managing a farm and the boot camp of farming. And Ashland, you know, kind of climate change hit hard, dried up, caught on fire. And then the pandemic happened and we couldn't find any land. And so we came back up to Grandpa's farm that we inherited and started farming and joined the farmer's market. And at that time, yeah, we just, you know, really put a lot of energy into the property, started intensively growing vegetables, and then we started our own commercial kitchen and do value-added stuff. And of course, the board members of the farmers market were really tired, and we had a lot of energy, and so they recruited us really quickly. We joined the board, and just
one
started.
One by one, they dropped like flies.
Yeah, yeah.
For good reasons, of course.
Yeah, and I mean, like, you know, the farmers market in Clatskanie came before us. My mom was a founder. It was started by vendors, which I always believe is how a farmer's market should be started, by the farmers itself. And it was on a steady trajectory for a rural market, slowly growing, and the pandemic really hit it hard. And so Brandon and I, when we joined, we really put a lot of energy in trying to revitalize the farmer's market through seasonal festivals that highlight different crops like garlic, honey, apples in the fall. And it worked. The energy that we put in really worked, and we saw it come back strong through the pandemic. And that was really unique for a small rural market that's not even located on the highway. We have to put up about 25 signs every Saturday just to get people off the highway.
Because the market is in a park, right? Mm-hmm. It's right along the river.
Right on the Oxbow.
On the lazy Klatskanai River and on grass and with a playground so the kids can play. So people really love it. It's like the living room of Klatskanai. And that does attract vendors in some way because it's family friendly and you don't have to worry about the traffic or the heat from the asphalt. And it's a wonderful little spot. But while we were revitalizing the market, we also had this dream of being able to sell at least our products year-round someplace in Klatskanai and not having to travel outside of Klatskanai into Portland like we saw a lot of our fellow food businesses and farmers doing, is just all that local product just leaving Klatskanai and not even being really available for sale for the people in Klatskanai. And so we wanted to be able to sell our food and our products to our neighbors year round. And so we, dreamt up the vision of the Klatskanai Food Hub. We were able to secure this building downtown through family. And that's really what kicked off this project. We had the building, and that's always really...
That is an amazing...
Yeah.
I mean, just that it is a community coming together, your family supporting this vision. It is amazing. Like, it's little steps like that. And I mean, huge steps like that. They're not little. That can suddenly kickstart something that becomes something more. So, Brandon, so you're not from Klatskanai.
Absolutely not.
No. Where did you start out?
I have long blonde hair and blue eyes. I was sprouted in Southern California. Don't tell anybody.
No, it's okay. I'm an ex-Californian myself, so we're compadres in that.
Awesome.
But you have landed in an amazing place.
Yep.
And how is that? I mean, that's a big transition, Southern California to Klatskanai.
Yes. Well, Ashland. Yeah, exactly. When I was eight, we moved to the Rogue Valley. So I grew up in Grants Pass.
Okay.
Grass Pants. And met Jasmine at school in our farming boot camp. One of the details that I like to always throw in there is we were mentored by a pretty renowned human being, Ron Kosla, who was the World Organic Farm Consultant for the United Nations.
Whoa.
Yeah, so he went
That's
all...
That's quite a mentor.
Quite a mentor.
And the inventor of the CoolBot.
Whoa. So we would actually dip the wires for his CoolBot, the brains, when we were building the little brains in his backyard.
I have one of those on my farm.
A lot of small farmers
that
do.
That is so
we
cool.
We had it on speed dial,
what?
Right? I mean, we still do.
So for people who don't... So CoolBot is this incredibly amazing... Mm-hmm. transformative thing for small farms. Mm-hmm. It basically turns like a commercial air conditioner into a refrigeration unit that you can build a small like walk-in cooler on your farm very affordably.
Yes, for around $1,000 with all the insulation and everything purchased.
It's been amazing.
And he invented that because of the conditions in third world, in developing countries. So he would go and he would work with these farmers in very remote locations and very disparate situations, and they needed a way to store their food. And so they would pull together and they would build these little CoolBot units, out of huts and whatever material they had available.
To insulate it with that. It's magic.
It's magic. It's absolute magic.
It really is magic. And so, and as an economic asset to a small farm, it is transformative.
Yep.
That was a lovely tangent.
Yeah, lovely tangent.
So you guys were mentored in, and got really inspired.
Yes, incredibly inspired.
And then are bringing all of that energy here. I will say this, and I'm so grateful, like, to have young people come and like hit hard in a community and just show up and bring all of that energy, because a lot of times people, are tired. Mm-hmm. And, especially if you've been farming for a long time, or you can't see, the possibilities of change. Mm-hmm. And then you have people come in who are like, what if we just do it this way? Mm-hmm. And then you go do it. Mm-hmm. That's where change really can happen. So this food hub thing started.
Yeah, and it started, it was able to be built so quickly because, one, we had the building, and two, because of the work that the founders of the farmers market did, right? I don't think that we would have been able to, a lot of the times they say if a food hub is going to be successful, it needs to be, in a place that has a thriving farmers market. And so there we had the thriving farmers market. We had the energy of that. We knew that people appreciated this local food system and wanted more access to it. and we had an existing 501c3 nonprofit organization
that with the farmers market
that we could use to get funding for this project very quickly and efficiently. And so, yeah, I just want to give credit to the founders of the farmers market for all of their work and their mentorship that they continue. You know, it's like we have a council of elders that we get to call on, and I think that's a very rare thing these days, the relationship between our youth and our elders, and we're grateful for them.
So describe what the Food Hub is and does. I mean, you've got this incredible now year-round market that people can come and shop in 5 days a week. Mm-hmm. So describe what that is, what that looks like, and what you sell, like from where?
I think I want to answer this question and also address the previous question. The Food Hub does two very important things. One, it provides food year-round, and that was one of the reasons we began this project, because how can you have a local food system for only 4 months out of the year? And why would we not want an opportunity to sell goods on the shoulders of that four-month season when winter squash can last all through the winter, storage onions and potatoes and all of these things that we all still had, but there was nowhere to sell them. But I think the most important thing it does is it educates. It reconnects people with their humanity. And I think that is really the other side of the coin for why we started this. Because we could have taken our energy, we could have taken our talents, we could have, you know, taken our entrepreneurial spirit and done a million other things related to food and privatized that profit and really served ourselves and our own family. But we decided to put ourselves on the line and put ourselves out there and make a lot of sacrifices in our life so that we could share this gift of what kind of awakening food and local food and nourishing food, non-toxic food, and proximity to food and the food that's grown under the same sunshine that you experience as a human being, what that does for people's hearts and their minds and their bodies and their life, and how that spreads, you know, into the community, into their own families. And so, you know, it's not just about selling food. In fact, when we were dreaming about this project, it wasn't really a dream. For me, it was kind of a nightmare. I told Jasmine repeatedly, I do not want to open a grocery store. There are 100 other things I could say I would rather spend my life, you know, working really hard at. But, you know, the first thing that happens when you throw something like that out there is the universe says, oh, really? Well, you just wait till you see what I have in store for you. And it's what we've come to realize is it's way more than a grocery store. It's a place all winter where the community that doesn't want to hang out at the bars and doesn't want to, you know, have to drive all the way to Astoria to have community or to Portland to have community, where these people can come and be guaranteed to at least see one other person. And it's quite profound to see what is birthed from just holding space, yeah, and putting some pretty vegetables and some beautiful grass-fed meat and, you know, some tea and some lotion that you can, some tallow lotion you can come try. And you just set the stage with that, and then it grows this incredible culture.
And you pull customers from quite a range. And this is one thing I find really impressive. I mean, Klatske and I, Brandon and I were talking earlier before we started recording, this is a community of around 1,700 people. Mm-hmm. So that is not really enough to support the kind of market that you have. But you pull customers from, tell me about some of the places people come to shop here.
Yeah, we get folks from Longview, from Kelso. They do have a seasonal farmers market there, and they have one, you know, health food store, but yeah, they come here to do their local food shopping. Rainier, South County, Scappoose, and St. Helens. There was a carpool going for a while for some senior citizens that needed to use their FDNP checks, those green checks. And so they joined a carpool and they came over in a van and came through the door waving those checks in the air. Like, we're going to
so great.
Because it was the only place year round that they could spend them. So after the farmer's market season, they have until November. And we get a lot of folks from Puget Island, Kathlamet, believe it or not, from Portland.
Astoria, Seattle.
Yeah, Canada, because they come, you know, down over the bridge and come right down Highway 30.
So it's partly people coming here intentionally and partly people coming through, but they hear about you. And so that is an amazing audience that you're building. And then, I mean, I think about, you talked about the community that you're building for the people who live here and they can come and experience this, but speaking as a farmer, to have a place like this in your community to be able to sell at is also amazing. Like you said, to be able to sell year round, to have a place to sell those winter squash or potatoes or storage crops or shelf stable things that you might have, frozen meat or other, you know, eggs, whatever can happen year round. How has that really transformed your local farmer community? I mean, you're also pulling from a pretty nice range distances with local producers. I mean, still local. Yeah.
Everything in our store is within 100 miles. Most of it is much closer. And I would say in all of our research and all of our interaction with other other places in the country, they're called farm stops. We are very unique in the fact that we are incredibly strict about that 100-mile radius. We don't bring in other products to round out the grocery experience. We essentially say, this is what we have, and let's make do with it. And so it puts an interesting spin on how producers sort of approach the planning for the coming season. So one of the things that we've done every winter is a producer social, where we talk about, well, okay, we ran out of storage onions in March. So who can carry us over from March until the next time that we get onions in? We ran out of potatoes in December. And, you know, just talking about the gaps and who's going to be able to fill those gaps in. And it's really, I mean, we'll pack this room out. We'll have 60 people in here, you know, from
60 food businesses.
60 food businesses. Mm-hmm. Yeah, farmers and value-added food producers in a room, all brainstorming together and getting excited about what kind of varieties they can grow that store longer, and who has the specific crops for succession, which apples come on early and which apples come on later. And it's really,
that's got to be such an amazing conversation to be part of.
It's a beautiful experience. Yeah, it's like we're all painting a picture together.
And to break down the competition and to realize we all have our little niche and we all have our little corner and we can all rise with the tide, and it's a beautiful web. And I don't feel like we have enough of those conversations participating in the same markets, you know?
Yeah.
And so we're really trying to do that so everybody feels like they can produce something that is of value to their community. And a really unique partnership that we've been able to form is with the Small Business Development Center in Columbia County. So I was doing a lot of producer support just as through the Farmer Collective that I wasn't getting paid for, of course. And so the Small Business Development Center decided to bring me on as an advisor. And so now I get to mentor farmers and food businesses, advise them, and we're incubating businesses left and right.
Maple syrup. We have a maple syrup producer now.
Yeah, so that are in Columbia County. And so now, you know, we're less dependent on farms from farther away and starting to really see what we can do in Columbia County exclusively. So
this is so inspiring. I just want to say, I mean, I'm late in doing this because we were having such a great conversation, but if you're just joining us for today's In Season, I am here in Klatskanai and I'm speaking with Brandon and Jasmine Lilick Schilling.
Nailed it again.
And and we are talking about the Klatskanai Food Hub, which is part of the Klatskanai Farmers Collective. It's an overarching thing. There's a farmers market, seasonal festivals here. Klatskanai is really becoming this amazing local food center. And this is amazing. So you're mentoring local businesses, local food businesses, helping people, you know, that entrepreneurship, which is very popular now. I think a lot of people are trying to take control of their working lives and maybe seeing, like, can I start my own business? And food businesses are something that people find attractive, they're also very risky. So being able to do that in a supportive community is really, I think, bodes well for people. And now they have a marketplace year-round where they can try things like that out.
Mm-hmm. Part of that incubation is helping us, because everything here is on consignment. And this is really important to the model, is our farmers are getting 80% of the price that you see on the shelf.
And they're getting 90% for any wholesale purchases. So if we're selling their produce to the school or the local monastery, then they're getting 90% of those.
And I mean, I just want to say, for people who maybe don't grasp this, as I mean, speaking again with my farmer hat on, that is amazing.
Yeah.
For a farmer, for a food producer to be able to sell through like a second, you know, like a wholesale situation, but to be able to maintain like 80% of that purchase price is phenomenal and can be transformative for a small business. And that is only possible because you are a nonprofit.
Yeah.
In essence, you're taking the hit for that profit, because you do not need to make a profit as a nonprofit. You're able to absorb that and allow customers to have an affordable price for goods, and allow farmers to get a decent price for what they've produced, more covering the actual cost of production. I mean, that is, you know, in some ways it's sad that that's the model that we have to have in this country, that it has to be a nonprofit that facilitates this, but that's the reality.
But maybe not forever, right? And if we do good work and we do our jobs well, then, you know, we shouldn't have to be a nonprofit. We could be able to turn into a minimal profit, right? Maybe 1 to 2%, like some other really great farm stops over on the East Coast that we learned from, that have a similar model as us, but they're, you know, operating a cafe, doing tavern activity. Like they have other revenue streams as part of their model, as part of their in their buildings, to help kind of fill in the gaps for those like low margin grocery items that we're, you know, now just relying on. So we're looking at some of those that revenue diversification, especially with the funding freezes that recently happened, being less dependent on grants. And
And I think the more that consumers begin to shift their habits through sort of the awakening of what our industrialized agriculture and industrialized food system is, what kind of products they're actually providing to people. And in many cases, I would hardly call it food. And certainly not healthy in a lot of cases. Being able to also bolster our farmers' productions and increase the acreage, the square footage of what our farmers are putting out there, as we gain more consumers, that is, you know, I think that's clearly where food systems are heading right now. And I just want to add too, we really work hard to go the extra mile in managing our inventory. This is kind of the second point to what I said earlier, that our personal business trialed we piloted a program of buying produce before it expired that we knew would not make it to the next week, or, you know, wouldn't last through the next week, and turn those things into value-added products. And so the idea is that an aspiring value-added food business, say somebody wants to start making fermented hot sauce, or they want to make pesto or pickled beets, or, you know, what, anything under the sun, they could come to us at the end of the week and say, hey, I'll buy up all the beets you have left at a wholesale cost, and that, you know, really reduces a lot of it expands the margins for those value-added producers.
Yeah.
And then we're sort of like clean sweeping all of that inventory for that farmer, which then allows us to order, you know, another 40, 50 pounds for the next week. And so it just,
and that can be transformed into another edible product.
Exactly.
And I mean that, and it's not just going on a compost pile or worse into the trash.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. So that's honestly
really efficient.
Like we are like very close to zero waste. Yeah.
That
you could fit the food waste, you know, in your hands at the end of the week, which is amazing.
That's really efficient.
Yeah. Very
and
efficient.
So how How has your local community received this? What does Klatskanai think about this? I mean, do you feel like, are you getting people from Klatskanai, from the surrounding areas, like inspired, excited, interested?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Klatskanai stoked. they want us to expand. We're expanding our retail space, through their recommendations, like their demands. Yeah. And bringing on more vendors, because we haven't been able to bring on more vendors until we do this expansion. So this summer you should see our front door open and lots more retail space, lots more vendors. Our commercial kitchen will be open. That has been funded by the Oregon Community Food System Network and the Oregon Department of Agriculture through their RFSI grant. And we're going to be doing pop-up dinners to feature the local food, dabbling in some cafe work. We're going to hold our egg handler's license and get more eggs in the store, because for a while we were the only people that had eggs.
There's a lot of people producing local eggs, mm-hmm. but to be able to sell them at a store, you need to have an egg mm-hmm. handler's license. And that's that could be a barrier for some people. It can be intimidating mm-hmm. to understand how to do that. And I do appreciate the education that you also offer here. Mm-hmm. I came and attended a class here, which was, for value-added producers, talking about, the Farm Direct Bill and the different legal requirements for processing and record keeping and all that. It was really helpful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was great that you're doing that and providing that resource for producers as well to be better educated to know how to do that. I mean, so that's a great.
Yeah, and you can expect a full schedule of classes in the coming years, for sure. Not just for businesses, but also just for community members to get together and learn agriculturally based classes or crafts and cooking as well. So
I just want to say, before we run out of time, mm-hmm. which we're not out of time, but we're getting close. If people are interested and they want to find out more about what you're doing, how do you recommend that they connect with you guys?
Yeah, so they can visit our website, KlatskanaiFarmerCollective.org. On there, you'll find our schedule of events for the summer, all of our festival lineups, our regular, market season, what the food hub is, what it's about. And for vendors, you can find our applications, both for the food hub and for the farmers market and festivals. And then you can follow us on social media, Facebook and Instagram. We're very active on those channels. And be sure to join our newsletter on our website, because that is where we announce our annual farm-to-table dinner that we rotate from farm to farm every year. 60 people, 5 courses, sells out really, really fast.
World-class
chef. And it's just a really unique, special farm-to-table dinner that people love and adore. So love to share that with new people every year.
There's a lot of great local food experiences going on here. And I really do encourage people to stop by, to come by the farmers market, to come to one of the festivals. Definitely stop by this store, because it is so impressive how much you pack in there.
We sell food out of a closet.
I mean, kind of, but I mean, for a tiny retail space, there's an awful lot of options. Yep. There, and it does feel like a full shopping experience, and it is really impressive that this is all, everything in there is made, grown, harvested by someone within a 100-mile radius.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I also just want to add, before we run out of time, that we accept SNAP, EBT at our food hub and at our farmers market. We do double up food bucks at our farmers market.
Yes,
and
please come get double up food bucks.
Yeah,
do it.
If you don't spend it, then we have to give it back. But we'll also be accepting double up food bucks at the food hub too in a couple of months. So we have a lot of ways to make local food accessible to everybody.
It's so impressive. We could talk for hours. We are sadly out of time. I have been speaking with Jasmine and Brandon Lilick Schilling at the Klatskanai Food Hub, Klatskanai Farmers Collective. Check them out. Come visit this place. It is amazing. And thank you so much.